Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
The air conditioner's broken. I'm getting a little warm.
Well, just let the kid fix it for you.
All right. You got the little twisty knobs? That ain't doing it. All right.
Mister! Mister! Get this off of me! Mister!
Hang on, I'll be right down.
You know that Mista lady? I think I just killed her.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio StPete.com. Good day, good evening, good morning. My name is Will Koontz, and it's the homemade broadcast. I hope you're fine. I am still in a turkey coma. I don't feel well. I overate. You think you'd get used to it after a period of time. When you get to a point when... that's all the food that I require. I'm done now. My body is at capacity. And now I'm going to process the food and use that food as energy to fuel my essence. No, that's not what you do on Thanksgiving. This holiday is about finding out how much meat and starch and sugar you can cram down your gullet until you are ill. And that's exactly what I did. I'm sure a lot of you have done that too. It's fun, isn't it? It is a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things to do. But it's a lot like you get food hungover, just like booze hungover. Your belly's sticking out more than usual. You just feel a general malaise. You gotta lay down. You gotta take maybe some ibuprofen. You got all this sugar coursing through your veins, going into your brain, and just sits there and rots away. Sugar, you know? And it happens, and that's what it's about. And then you wait a few more weeks, and then it's Christmas. And then you do it all over again, but this time you have ham that's coated in sugar. And it's I'm not a big fan of, some people do... it's turkey for Thanksgiving, and it's ham or a pot roast I've seen people do, too. Also acceptable, but it's really, you know, turkey for Thanksgiving. Don't do ham for Thanksgiving. You look like a creep. You're doing it completely backwards and wrong. Ham is Christmas, okay? I just want to make everybody aware of this so there's no miscommunications from for future holidays spent together with your family that you don't want to be at. No, I love my family. They're great. Doesn't everybody love their family? I do. And friends, they're okay too. Did you do the Friendsgiving thing? That's a big thing. Now everybody has Friendsgiving. I already went to one last week, and now we did one this week, and, I didn't realize that I had so many friends. I was like, I haven't seen you all year. And now we're having dinner together, having turkey and, you know, salad and stuff together. I guess I'll see you next year. It's bizarre. Anywho, nice to talk with you folks again. This is the homemade broadcast. See, I'm trying to hold back from belching into this microphone. I'm not even kidding. This is how bad it is. This is the Homemade Broadcast, yes. And this week on the show, we have Jeff Louise. He is a stand-up comedian and felon. He had a great story. I know he's probably sick of talking about it at this point, but it made such... It was worldwide headlines. He robbed the same bank twice here in Tampa. And, yeah, he was under the influence of narcotics at that point and didn't really realize what he was doing. But it's still funny. And I think Jeff knows that it's just something he's never going to live down. He's always going to have to talk about. And so the Times wrote a long article on him this past week about his past mistakes and his future in stand-up comedy. And it was cool. So I figured, man, I meant to have Jeff in here a long time ago. He was on James Bailey's podcast when he was doing when James was living here before he moved. And I said, oh, man, I got to get you to mind. And he said, yeah, I'll do it. And then we just didn't talk again after that. But so I saw the article and called Jeff up. And he said, yeah, man, let's do it. So Jeff will be here shortly. But, you know, I want to remind you folks that if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, this is also a podcast. And you should subscribe at hmbradio.com. Search your iTunes, your Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. It'll pop up. You hit subscribe. While you're there, leave a quick review. 5 stars. Cool podcast. Hit submit. Really helps us out. Only takes a minute. And you're doing a nice deed for the holiday season. Because it is the holiday season now, officially. After Thanksgiving, boom, right into it. And what else? I got stickers still. I'd love to send you some holiday cheer in the mail. And it's not going to be anthrax. It's going to be some nice stickers for you. So email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiostpete.com. Questions, concerns. I have a phone number. I'm not going to answer. It's a voice mailbox. You can reach that at 813-693-2124. And if you need that number again, just go down to hmbradio.com on your web browser. It's got all the contact info. And you can get a hold of me there as well. What else do I have to talk about? Oh, thank you to our sponsors, of course. Tap House 61, taphouse61.com, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. The best place for beers in St. Petersburg, if you ask me. They got trivia. I believe that's Wednesday nights. They might have bingo now. I don't know. I know Joe is working a lot with bringing acts. It's becoming like a music and craft bar facility now. So make sure you check it out. Like them on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Tap House 61. And I'll see you there. And also Truvy Salon and Spa. That's Truvy, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Right here in St. Pete, the best place to get your nails did, your hair did, you look good, you feel good, and you get on with your life, and you just crush it. Because you're feeling yourself, and that's important, you know? So check her out. Chrissy does great work. She's the only one who touches my hair. And if you know me, you know that doesn't happen very often. I'm actually thinking about getting rid of it, though. Zach Townsend, he was serious. We constantly just are cruel to each other in ways that you wouldn't understand. And he said, I don't think he was joking either. He's like, you are too old to look the way that you do. And I was like, I think you might be right, dude. I think you might be right. So I'm considering chopping it off. I was going to go one more winter with the long hair. But I'm thinking about getting rid of it very soon. I don't know. We'll see. It's got to be one of those spur-of-the-moment type things. I can't, plan it, make an appointment and stuff like that, because I'll just be thinking about it the whole time. It's got to be a not rational, just like dive in type of thing. Otherwise, I'm just going to regret it. So we'll see. I don't know. It's definitely coming, though. I'll tell you that much. What else? I think that's it, right? Check out the Facebook page, HMB Radio and Radio St. Pete, respectively. Twitter, home_made_man and Radio St. Pete on social media and Instagram and all that good stuff. Okay, let's talk to comedian Jeff Louise here on the Homemade Broadcast right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. All right, Jeff Louise, take two here. What's up, man?
What's going on? How you been, brother?
Not so much. I'm good. I'm good. Busy as hell, but you're busy too, so.
Try.
Doing your thing. I saw you had a Times article come out this week, which yeah, you accurately pointed out is why you're here today.
No, that's not why I'm here today. I mean, as much as I would love to get up here and bash a reporter for practically slander and libel, but I'm just going to let it go. No, I'm going to let it go. I mean, obviously, it's recycled. It was a crappy article. Recycled headlines and jumbled up. No real chronology and, you know, just a desperate rehashing to get a front page article from a guy who made me think, and I was paranoid, but I trusted him that he was writing a prodigal son returning piece, if you will.
Yeah.
Live and learn, man. You know, he met with a lot of people that said some really amazing things about Matt Williams. You know Matt Williams being one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, I think so.
He said the sweetest thing a man could say about another man, but he actually said, I can't use it. You know what I mean? So that's why I started really getting that he's at a different angle, but whatever. I got free press and...
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't only like... So to break this down, you're a comedian here in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You had a run-in with the law a few years ago that
sure.
made national and worldwide headlines. I remember
yeah.
reading about it.
Well, of course it did. You know, I can only talk about certain things, but, I got highly intoxicated on Xanax and walked into the same bank... twice. I was all like morons on the news. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I did 3 years for that. You know, obviously I asked for. I mean,
and you robbed this bank twice.
Yeah, well, I call it an unauthorized withdrawal.
Right.
You know, you ask for it, they give it to you. I didn't have a weapon or anything like that, but you know, I probably said something stupid since I was so intoxicated. Obviously, not in the right mind at the moment, which is probably why you know I got 3 years. Nothing to sneeze at.
What were you? I would imagine you were facing probably much more than that, though.
They originally wanted 30 because, yeah, there's some. You know, I'd been in trouble with the law. You know, at the time in my 20s, I was, you know, just acting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, and went through some stuff, and you know, self-medicated too much probably for a long period of time, and kind of lost my mind a little bit, and just.
Mm-hmm.
Did 3 years in prison for that. Probably would have. They wanted 30, then they wanted 15, and you know the judge gave me 3. She was a great person and understood, you know, the kind of person I really was, despite the headlines, and probably thought I was too stupid to, you know, be a danger to anyone but myself. So I got 3 years. It was just enough time.
Yeah. Now, were you doing comedy before this
this
happened?
Yeah, I was doing comedy. You know, I hadn't risen above. You know, host of an open mic or something like that. And I really wasn't attacking it then. I was much too wrapped up in some bad behavior, self-destructive, obviously, to actually attack anything. Now I've been really attacking it the past year and a half, and I've been doing pretty well.
So would you say that you were just kind of like doing open mics here and there before this happened? Like every
contest,
once in a while
yeah,
I would
I really
hit it.
Yeah. Getting paid to work. I wasn't good then, and you know, and the links they'll show you from my YouTube videos back then will prove it. I was awful.
Yeah, well, everybody's bad. Yeah, it's like the first, probably decade, really, if you want to.
You know what was really bad for me, and I probably should have been worried about more stuff? I was actually good by the time this happened, except, you know, when you get good and you get smarter, you stop putting your videos online. However, my garbage from my amateur days from years earlier was still on there. So after this happened, I got all this free publicity. Well, not free. It cost you 3 years, but all this, you know, international publicity. So all these people kept checking my YouTube, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're spraying me. It was terrible. Like, said stuff like, you know, first he's a crappy comedian, now he's a crappy bank robber.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm literally in county jail. Like, no, I'm good now, I swear. Like, come see me in a few years, guys.
Yeah. So what was that process like? I mean, you did the robbery twice, same place. Came out, went to jail, went to prison.
Mm-hmm. Here in Florida.
And what was prison like?
Prison, I wrote a crap load of material. It can't be explained. It can only be experienced. Now, everyone, I was, it's kind
of, what was the biggest, like, surprise in a good way and bad way?
The biggest surprise was that I was practically a celebrity in there. Like, everyone knew who I was, and, you know, it was pretty crazy, you know, walking in and expecting it to be one way, and it was the complete opposite. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a terrible place. A lot of danger, a lot of violence, a lot of tension, a lot of weird shit.
It's all right, man. We'll get it edited out for you. No worries.
I apologize. I've been cursing like a drunk sailor lately, especially when this kind of stuff comes up lately. Yeah. It was, you know, I talk about it in my act. I haven't even begun. You know, I probably got 30 minutes on, real stuff that happened and work my premises in that tie into these stories. But I got a lot more. So, I mean, really, if you want to hear about it, I'm talking about it 3 nights a week.
Yeah. What's the craziest thing you saw in prison?
I think it's weird. In some camps, people have lost their lives over which soap opera to watch. Yeah. It's a big thing in there.
Oh, My Children guy, and the other guy's a Young and the Restless fan.
Stuff like that. Crazy stuff.
Is it really that violent, though? I would think it would be almost, even though probably a lot of the people are violent offenders, they're in a kind of a controlled environment.
It's not as controlled as you might think, and a lot of times, I mean, I don't want to start in trouble, but the people that run the prison are start more trouble than any inmate I've ever encountered, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part, you get people living in close quarters and you know, it's, hypothetically, let's say there's plenty of contraband around, people are pretty much happy. A lot of the stuff happens from gambling. A lot of violence will happen over gambling or dumb stuff. Bad person, bad day.
So everybody knew who you were when you went in. So did you have any, like, issues? I mean, you're not a big guy. You're kind of a tiny guy.
Oh, well, I fight really well. Mm. And I only had to, you know, it was only 2 instances where I had to show myself. And I was in a situation when people didn't know me and I don't look like much. But, you know, I trained Krav Maga for years before. I went back when I thought I was going the first time. And that's when I couldn't fight then. It took me a lot of beatings by some ex-army guys that are teaching Krav Maga in a place in Lutz to realize how little about fighting I knew. It took a while, but, you know, only 2 instances I had to use it. And, you know, after that, you pretty much no one messes with you anymore in a mm-hmm. situation like that, unless you hurt the wrong dude, you know. And there's, you know, it's every experience is different for everyone in there, you know. And no camp equals another.
Right.
You know, I was at Marion for a while. That's a pretty rough camp in Lowell, right outside Ocala. And it was pretty weird vibe. I wasn't there that long, luckily. You know, that place had a weird vibe to it. I might be more screwed up than, you know, I am now for being I spent most of my time at a work camp where, you know, you're a slave for the state.
Mm-hmm. What, did it give you, like, $15 a day or an hour or something?
Oh, no, you get zero.
Zero? Yeah, I thought they had to give you something in order to do that.
You are there.
But you learn a skill or something? Is that the deal?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I guess I'd never worked a chainsaw before. You know, I've been on a zillion crews out there, mostly for the Department of Transportation, county and stuff like that, and out in Gainesville. Ran a 5-man asphalt crew myself. I was a straw boss for a while. Tree crew, concrete squad I've been on. Ditch crew, thank God I was only on that for a day. That's like the worst.
Like literally digging ditches?
No, they're out there weed-eating ditches in a swampy area. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of danger out there, a lot of rattlesnakes, a lot of moccasins who are very aggressive, and you're in waders with water higher than, you know, your waders are in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nasty situation for 14 hours a day, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You get a peanut and butter sandwich for that. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it almost nice to be outside? Was it one of those things? Or?
Yeah, we were by the college. You know, really, it's a double-edged sword. Like, yeah, you want to see stuff, but at the same time, you don't want to be reminded of stuff that you're missing out on, you know? And driving through UF and seeing all this that you're missing can kind of weigh on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What do you think the percentages of people that are actually in prison that need to be there?
Man, I met a lot of good people in there. You know, I needed to be in there. You know me, I'm not a bad guy at all. I never take from an individual, although I had a problem with, you know, rationalizing insured establishments
mm-hmm.
when I was in my early 20s. But, like, you know me, I'm not a bad guy at all. So I met a lot of really good people in there, man. A lot of real talented people, too. I'd say, you know, I mean, the percentage, I really couldn't tell. Just know that there's every kind of person you can imagine in there in close quarters.
What were, I mean, what was the majority of the crimes that people were? I would imagine probably drug crimes were probably the highest.
Lately, a lot of kids, you know, younger than us are going in for, you know, it's a big opiate problem and, you know, doctor shopping and stuff like that. Of course, you got everything, man. I was, you know, when I went to Marion, I was in a HO4 T building with people with 20 years to life for murder. It took me a little while to work my custody down. I was in some areas. Everything you can think of is there. I had to work my custody down to get to a work camp, and everybody there has got 5 years or less usually.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But overall, you think prison was a positive experience for you, a net positive anyways?
You know, there's no real rehabilitation there. However, you'll get what you put in. I mean, if you have enough time to yourself and, you know, you're essentially all right. You know, a lot of people, I've seen people have a hard time in there. You know, I'm pretty charming, no matter how motley the crew. But, you know, I knew people in there, too. And, I forgot the question.
Well, I was just saying, like, what? Oh, I forgot too. No, actually, I'm not gonna lie. So, overall, it was a net positive because you said you needed to be there for a little bit.
Yeah, for me, I needed to be in there.
Maybe not 30 years.
Some time out. No,
maybe even not 3 years.
And they knew that, and I thank God for that. You know, or even 10. You know, I might have come out a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? It's. You know, just being, I've been in the box over there before, just that will screw you up. You really get to know yourself in there.
Sure. Yeah. You're stuck in there by yourself.
Yeah.
So.
I think the worst thing was no air conditioning, absolutely.
No air conditioning
yeah.
at all?
Yeah.
Even in the cells and stuff?
Like, yeah, there's no air conditioning in Florida prisons unless you're like at a private place.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that. Like, I was like.
There's Florida State prisons, which are run by the state, and then there's.
Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've succeeded in privatizing the system where they basically contract out to a security company that owns a facility. And there's private prisons. Some are better than others, but, you know.
At least they have air conditioning. Jeez.
Some of them do, yeah. Some of them are just, they took over a prison that was owned by the state that got shut down, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And it's a nasty situation. You know, you're practically starving all the time unless you have money on your books. Everyone's severely malnourished.
What do you think they could do that would improve not only, you know, the life in prison, but to help people come out more successful?
More real vocation. Hardly any of the prisons actually have a real, you know, vocational rehab of any sort to learn a skill. You know, they definitely need more vocation. And, I mean, just some basic constitutional rights that don't really exist in there, but they tell you, you know, I had to sit in there and read in the paper all these articles about free medical, free dental. That's all bullcrap, man. Like, you know, you'd be lucky to show up with something serious and then wait all day shackled up to get to medical at another camp to see what they call a medical professional look at you with complete seriousness and convince you that this ibuprofen that they're going to charge you $5 for in your books was going to cure any ailment, stuff like that. I lived 3 years with a recurring abscessing tooth and couldn't even get it pulled, you know.
Did they just not have the resources, or, I mean, did they think maybe you were lying to get out of work or something?
No, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's their world, dude. It's their world. You know, they ain't only every now and then something gets out and something the right person, you know, pulls attention to something. And maybe that, you know, maybe the employee at fault will get fired, or, you know, maybe this, maybe that. But pretty much, you know, it's their world. They close it. There's no eyes in there, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, back to what you said and brought up before, the controlled environment, like, I've never been to a place that they had, like, cameras in the dorms and stuff like that, you know? It was, you know, it's us, it's them, and you just kind of learn to coexist, hopefully, and, you know.
Yeah.
Guards, too. With inmates, anyone you can imagine is there. Good, bad, okay. Guards, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Huh. Jeff Louise, stand-up comedian here locally in the Tampa Bay area, is on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Had the Times article come out. You were not a fan. I didn't read the whole thing.
It's
long, man. I mean, it is pages and pages long. I can only get maybe halfway through and then start browsing on any article, really, which is probably part of the problem that we have in today's world is nobody can finish an article. But how did it come about? Who contacted you?
You know, I don't even want to mention his name, really. He's somebody from the Times in the art section that featured one of the shows, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that he came out and reached out to me. I just, you know, there's no real hard feelings. I just, you know, obviously, some of it was, a lot of it was wrong. I was misquoted a lot, you know, and I don't want to call him out. It's not a big deal. It's just an article, you know. It wouldn't be the first time I was in the paper and everything
oh, sure.
was incorrect.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did what he did. He's got a job to do, and he's obviously sees fit to do it a certain way. I felt like I was duped a little bit, but, you know, you're not supposed to trust reporters.
Well, that's a fact. But I didn't think it was that bad, like, reading it over. I didn't think it portrayed you negatively or anything like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, it's about me. And there's a lot of inconsistencies, and then there was some rehashing of little things that didn't need to happen, like, you know, stuff from people that were in my realm of my wake of destruction at the time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so they went and talked to people that
like
maybe weren't big fans of you, mean?
Well, like an ex-girlfriend, you know. Of course, it didn't end well, considering, you know, me getting locked up and whatnot. Just stuff like that. Just, I couldn't read it, honestly. It was painful. At the time of my life, I'd like to forget.
Yeah.
Now I tell jokes about the time, not to play it up, but to, you know, turn something beautiful out of it.
Well, definitely, because, you know, it's going to be something that you're never going to really live down, ever.
Of course.
And you have to embrace it and use it to your advantage. And, you know, if you do that in your stand-up, it's going to be something you're going to have to talk about probably forever, too. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a crazy story, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't tell the whole one, right? I don't feel comfortable. But, you know, maybe one day all of it will be told. Or maybe I'll write a fiction novel.
Mm-hmm. Use a pen name?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's fiction, all of it.
Jeff Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yep, I like that.
It's like a shred of Latinness I have.
I like that. So tell me, man, you've been doing stand-up now for a year and a half.
Like 2 years, yeah.
2 years, taking it really seriously, doing shows.
Absolutely.
What's going on in the Tampa Bay comedy scene from your perspective?
I think we are building some. You know, I have a personal dream to do my part and to kind of put Tampa Bay comedy on the map. We have a great rep in other cities. You know, I think, you know, we don't need to leave. You know, we can make something happen right here. We have a growing area. You know, there's no reason we can't, you know, put our city, our area, you know, on the map for comedy, have it known as one of the bigger cities, you know, for comedy. There's no reason. There's plenty of people that have the resources to create independent shows. And, you know, we have one really good club in town in Tampa. You know, Tampa Improv is awesome, amazing. They're into cultivating comics too. They got right now. They have some sort of contest going on. It's going to determine their next MC. You know, it seems like they're getting back into. You know, they put a lot in us, man. Tampa Improv's been really, really, really helpful and supportive.
That's good to hear, because I kind of got the impression that the Improv was not really focusing on local.
You know,
folks.
I believe that right now, especially with this contest, they're you know, making steps to definitely get back into cultivating comics. And, you know, they've been pretty good to me. You know, you've only been on that big stage a couple times, but it was an awesome time every time. And, you know, I believe, you know, I believe in that club. Definitely. I'm staying behind the Tampa Improv, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they don't want me to. Then I'll retract it.
So you said there's one good club. There is another big club in town.
Nah.
No.
Not a
fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a few people give that same response.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get into that. You know, I guess there's another club. That's it. That's
what
I'm gonna say.
All right. So what's who do you think is like the bangers in town? Who would you rank up there? Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. You know them all.
No, I know, but I want your opinion on it. I could give mine.
Rio Paris, Vinny Ward, Kyle Roos, Jander Gray's a beast. I think Ricky Hickens on the come up. I mean, really, I could just name it forever, man. There's a lot of talent here.
See, you guys are too nice, though. Because, you know, everybody's very supportive of each other.
And that's what makes us awesome.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, I think you got to have some sort of rivalries, too. And
sure. I mean, it doesn't need to get dirty. Well, they're having roast battles. That's where they get it all out. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a roast battle. I had one rule, you know, because those things get brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hug afterwards every round. That's it. Got super homo in there for a little while.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was great.
So what is your plan, immediate plan? You want to stay in Tampa? You don't feel like going to one of the big cities? Or
I'm going to go travel, and I'm definitely going to hit some markets. You know, I'm still have yet to make the transition to making it be a full-time job. Right now it's still supplemental income. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's difficult when you work all day. And then you gotta go grind at night.
Right.
Yeah, I do pretty well. I have yet to actually just really send my avails out to anyone. Everything, you know, that I have, either comes to me or it's something I've been working with. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, any bookers, holler, I'm available.
So do you wanna do the road? Like, you wanna go out on the road?
Sure,
for,
of course.
Yeah.
I wanna do it for a living.
It's
I want to do what I love for a living. Why wouldn't you not?
So you don't want to do comedy as an end to do acting or something.
I would
like that.
Love to do acting. Absolutely. I want to be making movies with my friends that I feel are great comics and create my own little crew. That's my dream. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, but in the meantime, you would definitely be cool living the road life, because that's a tough life.
I'm aware, and I want the experience. I want to feel that pain. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm definitely ready to get into some acting, some comedic acting. Absolutely. I've been in a couple films. Nothing, you know, super big or anything like that. But you know, I'm ready. Yeah, me and Aniri are working on a film of ours right now. We're gonna enter some festivals. It's top secret. I gotta say. I should have said that.
Has it already been shot, completed, written?
Oh no, it's been written. We're about to start shooting. Yeah.
Is it a feature or a short?
It's a short. It's gonna be a short film. And, you know, there's not enough comedy in those things anyway, but, yeah, that's all I really am at liberty to say about it until it comes out. You know, Neri is doing really well with acting.
Was in, like, a bunch of, like, TV shows and stuff, wasn't she?
She was on Chicago Met,
mm-hmm.
And she was in a movie with Marlon Wayne. She's getting a bunch of great auditions, and I don't know how much I'm supposed to say about that, but she'll be headlining at 81 Bay Brewery.
Oh, that's your room, right? Do 81 Bay?
We're doing that on the 14th of December. It'll be Aniri, and then she asked me to feature for her. Dave Hines will host, and I'm running some showcase comics.
Does that lineup change every month? You do like a showcase?
Absolutely. I do I run a feature, a headliner. I usually host, and then I'll run like four or five, maybe six showcasers, do 5 minutes apiece, people that deserve a shot in front of a crowd, absolutely.
That's a cool room, too. They got that big
great
Sebastian
stage.
Coolidge mural in there. Stage is really cool.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Is and they got St. the.
He lives right in St. Pete here. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw him the process when he was doing that on Instagram. Follow him on there.
Doing the one for 8-1-8,
yeah. It was a while ago now. But, absolutely. Yeah, the stage is cool. They do the projections on the wall, right, too?
Yeah. They got it. It looks like you're inside of a whale's mouth.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like you're underwater type of feel. Yeah. So when is the 81 Bay showcase? Is that a particular day of the month?
It's a show, and it's got a showcase preluding it. It's Thursday, December 14th.
Is it the same day, third Friday or whatever?
Starting the first of the year, we have a monthly going on there, and it will be every first Thursday of the month. So the next one's going to be January 4th. Laszlo will be headlining. Rio's gonna feature, and then February I got some more dope headliners cooking. So yeah, come on. There's no cover on the 14th. It's a $5 suggested donation, but you know, come on in.
Yeah, I never know what to do with my when I put on showcases. I don't know. Some people, I feel like there's a you feel like you're getting something if you pay for it, but I also really like the idea of just keeping everything free just to have people come out.
You mean the audience or?
Yeah, to have people, you know, show up. I want to keep it free because I don't want to charge, you know, people to come. I want people to come to the events, but then if it's free, there's not really the value of, that you feel like
you're, I agree.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you're paying for something, so you expect a show.
We've sold tickets and did really well on over there too, and sometimes, you know, it's up to the venue, really. I don't, you know, whether they want to sell tickets or not. When we sold tickets, everybody who sold a certain amount of tickets kept like almost half, so my showcasers could get paid something if they sold some tickets. Also, all my performers get 2 drinks over there. Thank you, Keelan and Mike. And so they get something for their 5 minutes. You know, that's $14 value.
Sure.
Yeah, get 2 beers. Y'all like to drink.
Heck yeah. I love it. It's my favorite thing to do.
5 minutes.
Yeah, so is it an open mic too?
They have an open mic there every Monday. You're welcome to
go. Is that, are you running that or is that just?
No, I don't run that. You know, I'm just doing shows right now. I'm producing and then performing everywhere and anywhere I can.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing for a job? What's the day job?
I'm a swimming pool technician for commercial and residential pools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grinding, man.
Yeah, I know Jorge does that too.
Jorge does as well.
You don't work for the same place. So.
No. I see Jorge sometimes at one of the places where we all go and get supplies usually if we need some.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's your comedy about these days? I know obviously you got that experience. What else are you writing about?
You know, I try to give everybody, you know, most people in a crowd, they see a comic, they remember one joke. So I try to hit as many different nails on the head as I can. So give everybody that one joke if I can. So, you know, I talk about family and, you know, real issues like health and diabetes and, you know, relationships. Obviously, I got my unique experience in this, you know, the crazy sociology experiment that is Florida State prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just a lot of drug humor, you know, from my past, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do politics stuff? Do you delve into that?
I don't do politics, and I don't do sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I feel like it can divide a crowd, and you know,
certainly can. It seems like nobody really cares though, either. They're still just getting it off their chest. Most people. I haven't been to an open mic since the last ones I put on, which was last year, probably, or earlier this year.
Yeah, what happened to that?
It just, you know how it happens.
I don't
it just fizzles
mics.
Out.
I only go to mics right now to work, either develop what I have and make it better or work on something new. You know, I still mic, obviously. I'm still working on a bunch of new stuff. But
open mics are really important. And I know they're not real big money makers for – I mean, sometimes they can be, though. I mean, it just depends. But, you know, if you're paying somebody to come in and run it, it's not always lucrative for businesses, and ergo, they usually do it for a little while, and then, you know, the first couple times will be awesome, and then they expect that to come in, you know, weekly now that you're bringing these people in, and then it starts to fizzle down a little bit, and then they cut them, just like that. So, I mean, I know John had like 6 mics at one point, and now there's, I don't know how many mics, I don't think there's many going now. And we comics need those in order to, like,
absolutely
practice. You know, that's absolutely what they're for.
Yeah. No, they're very important. You know, when it comes to building a name in any local market or working on your stuff and getting it ready to get paid for, you know, for getting it ready to be worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. You know, that shout out to anybody who's, you know, has any interest in starting mics, man. We could just keep building this thing here. It's a growing area, so there's no reason, you know, if you have one night of the week where you're free and you can go talk a decent game and host, go get yourself an open mic, man. Get a little bit of money, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing about especially local comics here, I'm sure it's the same anywhere. I think they're inherently lazy comedians,
yeah.
So they're not really, you know, they like doing the mics, but they don't want to have the pressure of, and I get it too, because once something becomes work, it's not really as fun anymore.
Absolutely.
So if you have to be there, you have to do something. It's like, oh, God. And then, you know, they just don't want to, they don't know how to talk to people. I've had some people like, how do you get a mic? I'm like, you ask. You say, could I do a mic here? And they go, what are you talking about?
Sure.
Do a comedy mic. $50. I'll do a mic for you. Sure. Do it. That's all it takes. So I don't know. It's something that's definitely needed here, though, to support the Tampa Bay comedy
right,
scene.
Absolutely.
I'm actually working on one down in St. Pete Beach, but I can't even. I'm gonna have to lease it out, sublease it out, because I can't do it. I don't have the time.
What night of the week are you shooting for?
I don't know. It was still very, very early on. So
let me know.
Brewery on St. Pete Beach. Yeah,
I might be able to.
Right on. All right, very cool. All right, man. Social media and stuff where people can find you?
It's on Twitter, it's Luis Jeff. That's L-L-U-I-S. On Facebook, it is Jeff Luis. Instagram, Jeff Luis, comedian at large. And that's about it. That's all I got going on. All
right, Jeff. Thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother.
All right, there you go. Jeff Luis on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Check him out. If you listen on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next. Indie Circuit coming up after that. If you listen on podcast, hey, thanks a bunch. Tell your friends. Talk to you next week. Subscribe. HMBRadio.com. Yep, my name is Will Koontz. I hope you have a great, fantastic, lovely week. And I will talk to you next week. Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. Have a good one. Later.